is Brevard's praise and worship station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Please open your King James Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1, where we left off last time. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on April 1st at 5 p.m. for a beautiful inspirational program celebrating Christ our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. We're calling it The Cross, the Blood, the Heart. My twin friend Scott Merson is going to give you a supernatural picture show, and I'm going to give you a supernatural teaching of what Jesus was saying from the cross from the Bible. We will have communion April 1st, 5 p.m. Come every Sunday, 5 p.m. for the Word in Prayer. Come on Wednesday, 6 p.m. for the Word in Prayer. And every Thursday, I open the door from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Again, my twin friend Scott Merson meets me here. We pray for the sick, we pray for the dead, we cast out demons, just all those little things. You don't do that, you're not normal. And so, now, here we are, Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. For those of you tuning in the first time, you might need to know that this song is always supposed to be read at Passover, or what we would say, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which he is our Passover lamb. Now, isn't that amazing? The Lord picks out these books. He selects which book of the Bible I'm to teach when. And so I'll be teaching this right up until we have our resurrection program. So see how it works out? That was God. No human being could do that. And so this is a play. And there's a lot of symbology. The whole thing of Song of the Solomon is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's about Jesus coming again. Today's lesson is the second coming of Jesus. Now, it's a caricature, a metaphor. We have four main characters. We have the beautiful Shulamite girl. She represents God's very elect here at the end time, men and women who will not be deceived by the Antichrist. The wonderful shepherd boy is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd. The Shulamite girl and the wonderful shepherd boy are madly in love, just as Jesus is in love with his elect and his elect are in love with him. And then we have King Solomon, who is the type of the soon-coming Antichrist. Antichrist is about to appear, you know. It's the fifth trump now, a time of learning. When this finishes, the sixth trump will sound and Antichrist will appear. He's going to pretend to be Christ, but he's phony. And so then we also have the daughters of Jerusalem, the fourth set of characters. This will be the part of the body of Christ in Matthew 25 that have no oil in their lamp. They will be deceived and they will marry the Antichrist thinking that he is Jesus. Now King Solomon has summoned the Shulamite to his palace. He wants to convince her that he's the real thing and he wants to marry her. The Antichrist is going to summon the elect up to him to try to get us to worship him. But what happened last week? She sneaked out of the palace and she met with her wonderful shepherd boy and they've been talking. Well, we left off last week in chapter 4. He told her, "My dearest love, thou fairest among 10,000, I love you, but I'm going to have to go away, but I will come again. And while I'm gone, my dear Shulamite girl," Jesus says, "I must go away. While I'm gone, dear church elect, I want you to sow the pomegranate seeds and increase the orchid. Elect, I want you to sow the word of God so that this earth is filled with every word of God. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, every single word of God." He said, "so that when I come back, I will have some fruit." And so that's where we left off. See now your commission there? Now we begin with chapter 5. The shepherd boy speaks. "I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse." Well, he says here, "but I am coming back." Now, when Jesus comes back, you've all heard of the marriage supper of the Lamb. All those who were not elect, but that did get saved, there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. But the only ones that are going to be able to marry him, really, are those who are not going to be deceived. So then he can only call the ones who are not deceived his wife. So spouse means wife. Jesus will call the elect the wife.
I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my nectar. Eat, O friend. Drink, love, drink abundantly.
Okay. And he says to her, when I come back, I'm going to come to the garden. I'm going to see that you've got fruit, and I'm going to drink the wine. Jesus says that I will not drink this with you again. He's talking about the cup, his blood, until I return. When I come back, I'm going to drink this with you. Everybody see how this works? Okay. When Jesus comes, we're going to have communion with him. That's going to be the food of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We have his body. It's what a menu, and we have his blood. Now, I want to caution all of you that the prophecy tells us that since the Antichrist is coming first, when the Antichrist comes pretending to be Savior, he's going to have communion with the deceived part of the church. And then he'll say, you don't need to do this anymore because I, and he'll call himself the Savior, am already here. So he will stop that. But not the elect. We're going to continue to have that. And we're going to wait until our wonderful shepherd returns to his garden. And then we'll have that with him right here on planet Earth.
Verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh.
Okay, now, he leaves, and she has to go back to King Solomon's palace. And she's restless in there because she doesn't want to be there. And what this means is, she went to sleep, but she's having an illusion. But it's not an illusion. This is an elect. Elect men and women very often have prophetic dreams. She has a prophetic dream. In a prophetic dream, you literally are there, whatever's going on, be it heaven, be it in Tokyo, be it New York City, or be it around the bar, about the bar down there. You know, you're not going to the bar, but you might be going to meet somebody. Wherever you go, and you feel it, and you smell it, it's real. So this is not somebody who ate too much spaghetti. A prophetic dream, and God gives prophetic dreams to his elect. So this is a very real experience with her. Now, this will happen to the elect many times as we wait for our true Lord.
It is the voice of my beloved.
Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. No other voice will they follow. In other words, when you hear someone else blow a horn and say they are the Savior, you won't follow because you know your shepherd's voice. Oh, and then she hears somebody knocking. She hears this voice. Now, remember, she's sleeping, but now she's having a prophetic dream. So she's wide awake. She's feeling. And so then she hears someone knocking. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you will open, I will come in with you. I will sup with you and you with me. And I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all over this planet, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. You don't have much more time. You're not here for fun. You're not here for the stuff. You have a purpose on life. You need to get right with God, get in the right place, and make and do some good and finish your mission. And be like a Shulamite girl. Get this word of God out to the world. That's the only thing that's going to be the truth. And so people need the word of God. The word of God saves. The word of God heals. The word of God guides. And look at the Christians who don't know how to even apply the word of God.
Open to me, my sister, my love.
Jesus says, I'm at the door. I'm knocking now.
My love, my undefiled.
He calls her undefiled because in Matthew 24, we have the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. And also, God tells us in Mark 13, he's coming back for a virginal wife. The deceived part of the body of Christ, thinking the first one coming in the sky is Jesus, will marry the Antichrist. Oh, he'll have his Jesus costume on. He's going to say peace and safety, cause path to prosper. You can pay your mortgage. I mean, why wouldn't you worship him? It'd be wonderful. Of course, you don't know your Bible is why you would worship him. That would be why. But you have to be virginal. In other words, you must not marry him. Many people are going to run up around the real Jesus and say, you know, I went to church all the time, and I love you, and I did this in church, and I did that in church, and get away from me. I never knew you. You is a marriage term. You went after the first one. You can't be my spouse, says Jesus. He wants a virginal church. Wait for the true Christ. Antichrist comes at the sixth trump. It's about to sound. Jesus comes at the seventh. And that time of Antichrist's reign has been shortened for the elect's sake. Mark 13.
for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night.
Now that's the shepherd boy talking in her prophetic dream. See, in the dream, it's amazing. You could be places you just watch. You'd be surprised at the people I could tell you about that in a prophetic dream you get to go and hear what they're saying. This is a symbol of the fact that Jesus is going to come into the air. The heavens shall open back like a scroll. The blast of the seventh trump, and Jesus is coming with 10,000 of his saints. And it means the air. Like if you get out in the air, your hair gets kind of damp there.
Verse 3. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them?
Now she says, she had a prophetic dream. Wait just a minute, he says, open the door. I've already taken my clothes off to go to bed, she says. Now in the natural, you understand, and I've already washed my feet. In Bible times, the thing was to get everybody's feet washed because they did not have paved roads and they wore sandals. And just to go out the door, you got your feet dirty. But you know what it means? The reason Jesus said to wash one another's feet, he's not talking about doing that literally. If you want to, go ahead. But you can wash your feet at home yourself. What it means is to help one another not get yourself dirty with the sewage that you're walking on planet Earth. You understand? In other words, I look out for you and you look out with me. And when I see you start to slip, we're not judging. We just say, look out, that's kind of a dangerous way there. Maybe you need to come back this way. Or maybe that's a trap set for you. So we can help each other there. Now, what about the clothes? There are some clothes each one of you should be wearing all the time. You should have them on right now. What do you wear every day? I just finished teaching the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. You might want to go home and read all that again. Your complete wardrobe. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, girded about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, etc. You're never to take off the gospel armor. See, the reason some of you get in so much trouble, that devil is looking for any kind of a little wedge. If he can just get this much of a crack to hurt your testimony or hurt your life or get you off track on your... If he can, he'll push the whole door open. And the reason Christians get off more than they should is because you don't keep your gospel armor on. You say, well, I went to church, and we read the Bible there, and I didn't have time today to read it, and I didn't have time, and, you know, I listened to some little bit of radio or something like that, listen to TV. You don't understand. You can't really live in this world without the Word of God. That's not a book. That's God's breath. That's God's energy. It heals you. It provides for you. It guides you. It will save you from hell and take you to heaven. Jesus is the living word. Do you understand? Okay, so see, you don't ever take it off. You don't ever take a vacation. You got a family every single day, your family somewhere. You're going to have one meal together. Word. You say, that's so tough. Tough my foot. That's love. That's the only thing that's going to last forever. Give that to your children. The Word of God. Not a book about the book, not a devotional book. Those things are great. I'm a reader. I'm a bookworm. I got thousands of books, but not about the Bible. It's what you live by.
Amen.
The Bible is what you live by.
4. My beloved putteth his hand on the hole of the door.
You know how you have the little hole there before they put the little latch in the door.
And my bowels were moved for him.
In Bible terms, they thought that the bowel was the seat of emotion. It's really the heart. In other words, I was really excited to think that he's about to come. When's the last time anybody saw you, Christian, get really excited because Jesus is coming? Or you just say, oh. Are you excited about winning souls? Are you excited about going out tomorrow and bringing someone in the kingdom? Are you excited about reading the Bible tonight? Are you excited about what you're hearing now? When's the last anybody saw any passion in you? Oh, how wonderful he is. He's coming again. There's nothing worse than a dead wood Christian. Come alive.
Verse 5. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh.
Okay. Spiritually here, myrrh is a sign of gathering gloom. In other words, this goes back to how the disciples felt when they realized Jesus was actually going to let himself be crucified. You really are the Passover lamb. You really are the sacrifice. And she, the Shulamite, felt the shepherd boy's pain. You're nobody until you can feel other people's pain. When I say nobody, I mean you're nobody can do much good. If you love someone, you'll feel their pain. And we're also to have the fellowship of Jesus. Have you ever felt those stripes, all 39, with the time in between? Or is Jesus just somebody to you that you go and pray so you get the new car, the new job, and get out of that trouble? You can do that too. He loves you and will help you. Yes, that's okay. But have you ever suffered with him? You can never be a best friend or best spouse until you can feel the other's pain. This is so possible because we are one body. We should feel each other's pain. On the handle of the latch, 6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. Oh, he wasn't there. Now remember, Jesus says in Mark 13, they're going to tell you, hey, he's in the desert. Hey, he's in Judea. And, but don't go there. He's not there.
Goldman, I saw a veil when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him.
Now, what she doesn't know in the story is that King Solomon's men have caught this little shepherd boy. So in the story of Jesus, this would be when they arrested Jesus, when they arrested him.
I called him, but he gave me no answer. 7, the watchman that went about the city found him, who smote me, who wounded me.
Okay, King Solomon's policeman caught him. Now then he speaks. You hear that word? See, this is why this is a play. You got to know who's speaking. She sees and realizes that he's been arrested. He says, they smote me, they wounded me. He is speaking there. And in Isaiah it says, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed.
The keepers of the wall took away my veil.
Oh, and she says, oh no, when they arrested him, they took my veil. Now in the Mideast, if you take the veil, that's like stripping the girl. But here's what it means for you, Christian. Paul tells you in Corinthians, all Christians, men and women, and when it says women, it means men too, have your head covered. Now, many people have thought that means wear a hat in church or have long hair. No. It means have your head covered with Christ, have the mind of Christ, because when Satan comes pretending to be Christ, it's going to be a big revival in the church. The fallen angels are coming in, and they're going to try to woo the women, and you have to have your head covered with the mind of Christ so you won't be deceived
from me. And I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that if you find my beloved, that you tell him I am sick of love.
So now she screams out to the daughters of Jerusalem. They're in the palace too, and they're watching her. And remember, that will be the Christians who are deceived, who think the Antichrist is Jesus. They'll be looking down on her. They're going to look down on the elect and think that we're not true Christians. But no, we're the ones that are going to be right.
9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved?
So they say to her, what in the world is so special about your beloved Shulamite girl? Have you ever had someone ask you what's so special about Jesus? And then they start telling you all about Buddha and Allah and all that kind of stuff, okay?
Who thou fairest among women?
They even make fun of, they heard the Shulamite, the wonderful shepherd boy tell her that she was the fairest among women. So they're making fun of her beauty, but she is beautiful. You know, Jesus doesn't care about your outward appearance. He looks on your heart. If he sees that your heart is pure and in love with him and attached to his heart, he says how beautiful you are. And he especially loves your lips if they carry the word of God. And every one of the sound of my voice is able to carry the word of God to somewhere. Plant the word of God, and Jesus will say, what beautiful lips you have, like a thread of scarlet.
Is thy beloved more than another beloved? But thou dost say, charge us. Question, my beloved is white and ready.
So she decides to answer them. In other words, when someone tells you why you're a Christian, answer them. First of all, he's white and ready. Okay, we're often compared to the cedars of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon are always white. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says that mankind, that word Adam, doesn't mean a specific man named Adam. The manuscripts Hebrews say mankind in general. In other words, all the races, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And God said, it's very good. I love all the colors. God's an artist. All good. But then when we get to Genesis 2, God says, oh, I don't have a farmer to till the soil. So he created a specific man named Adam, Adam in the Hebrew, a specific man, Adam. And that Adam means to show blood in the face, which is what ruddy means. In other words, the coloring there is white, so when he blushes, you can see the red. She's describing the Lord.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white as snow, his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like a defined brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. When I saw him, I fed his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying not, fear not. This is Jesus. This is a beautiful description. Pure light, pure white, and he's a consuming fire. You might like to read the rest of that in Revelation. So she's describing. Why? Her dad is better than your daddy.
The chiefest among 10,000.
He's the commander-in-chief of all the angels in heaven, she says. She's proud of him.
11. His head is as the most fine gold.
In other words, that is that glory. The word lily there we learned a couple of lessons back, she says, on the lily valley, is the glory of God. And it's on the Lord himself. Now, when that glory comes on you as a Christian, it means Jesus paints himself on you, and that anointing, that's the anointing, and then what the demons see or what power comes through you to bless other people, to pray, to teach, or to sing, or whatever God has you to do, then there's that glory on you. But it says he's got that glory. Remember that Saul just almost went blind at the bright, brilliant light of Jesus on the road to Damascus.
His locks are bushy and black as a raven. 12. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water.
The dove represents the Holy Spirit, and by the rivers of water means a double reflection. In other words, he can see all the way through you. I couldn't help but think 2020 for real.
Washed with milk and fitly set.
Do you realize that? Everyone in the sound of my voice, you're going to stand before the throne of God. And your eyes are going to look straight at the eyes of the Passover Lamb who died for you. Those eyes like flaming fire. He loves you. Make the rest of your life count. Get about what matters. Most of the stuff that you waste your time on is small stuff and doesn't matter. You're here on purpose. Get your purpose and do it.
13, his cheeks are like a bed of spices, of sweet flowers. His lips are like lilies dropped in sweet-smelling myrrh.
Okay, there's the lilies, that's the glory. Now, earlier, the shepherd boy had told her, he said, oh, your lips are so pretty, they're like a scarlet thread. Meaning, you elect, I love your lips, you got the lips of promise, because what you do is you take words and you speak them out of your mouth, and it's God's word. It's not man's word, it's not your words, it's the Bible. Oh, chapter, verse, and line. He said, that's pretty. So she says the same thing. She said, his words, when he speaks, the glory comes out. So I think she was trying to make his better than hers. That's beautiful.
14, his hands are as gold rings.
Jesus stands now while there's still time. The fifth trump is about to stop. The Antichrist will come and deceive the whole world. He holds out his hands and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Set with the barrels, his belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires.
Now, I know you want to know what I'm going to do with that. your belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you're an elect, you need to start yielding and letting the Holy Spirit fill you. The Holy Spirit is upon all of you to some extent when you're saved, but there's an infilling where he is inside of you. In other words, you can start feeling him inside your belly when it's time to sing or pray or preach or lay hands on the sick. And like a fire, he starts coming up through your arms like a conduit, through your hands or through your lips. And demons flee. Oh, I felt it touch my head right then. Somebody in the name and the power of Jesus is being healed right now. And see, that's what you're supposed to do. She says he does that. Well, what about the sapphires? It's kind of like a diamond that turns a beautiful blue. Truth is blue. So out of Jesus with that anointing, out of your belly rivers of living water, you don't have Holy Spirit, comes the truth. Thy word is truth. So each one of you out of your belly is to flow rivers of living water. You are to be filled with the Spirit, and you're supposed to learn to yield and let that Spirit come up, and in your voice and in your life and in your hands and the things you do and direct you. And there should be truth. And you plant the seeds of truth. Like Johnny Appleseed, wherever you go. I call Scott Johnny Appleseed because he's always planting the seeds. Okay.
His legs are as pillars of marble.
Marble. Boy, you can't break those. Now, you know, the first time Jesus came, they picked up those legs and they hung them on a cross. But when he comes back this time, he's not giving ground. He's taking ground. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon.
The Lebanon looked like the Lebanon, cedars of Lebanon.
As the cedar. 16. His mouth is most sweet.
The word mouth here in the manuscripts reads word. There it is. Brought it right down. His word is most sweet. The greatest thing you can do for yourself or your loved one is to know the word of God. To know the word of God. To memorize it. To say it. To sing it. To pray it, to live it, to walk in it. When you know what to do and what you do not know what to do, you're not just reciting words. It's not a boring exercise. It's God energy. And Jesus is the living word. Before there was ever a book, and we wrote and called the Bible, there was the word. Before there was ever a form of flesh called a man named Jesus, there was the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God has given you Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Jewel after jewel. I dreamed it last night. A box of jewels from God. Amen. How we throw them away. Apply them today. Your life will change forever.
Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. And this is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem.
By this time, she says, he is just so beautiful. Jesus is just so beautiful. Has the sweetest heart, the most gentle spirit. Is a joy to know. Touches you when you need to be touched. Hugs you when you need to be touched. Comforts you when you need to be touched. Comforting. He is altogether beautiful. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. His name is Jesus. God bless you. Amen. Hope you're blessed. Thank you. It's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce you to you, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. I mean, we are to be excited, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Excited right now. The body of Christ needs to just get excited.
Yeah, that's right. And get excited about a ball game.
Okay, our first question tonight. Max asks, was Hitler possessed?
Was Hitler possessed? That Max is Maximilian Merson. That's Scott's son. And Max reads our scripture here for us. I would say, I didn't know him, but I would imagine that he is possessed. I do know this about Hitler. He was on an assignment from the devil to prevent the nation Israel from becoming a nation again. Because Jesus had said in Mark 13, when the fig tree puts out her shoot, the fig tree is Israel, when she becomes a nation again, then that's the countdown to the end. And see, Satan doesn't want that because he's going to have to walk into the lake of fire one of these days. And so it was to thwart Israel from becoming a nation again. Hitler thought if he could eliminate the Israelites that that would do it. What he didn't know, see, we're smarter than the devil. He thought that it was just because you called yourself Israel. He didn't know that it's not only there's a land Israel, and there's only two tribes over there, Benjamin and Judah. They call the house of Judah. But that the 10 tribes of Israel migrated over the Caucasus Mountain, were later called Caucasians, as well the white comes in, settled in Europe, came to Canada, and these United States of America. The people are here. So, see, we outsmarted him. But, yes, he was. But he didn't win.
Yeah, we see it all through the Bible. I mean, he just tried to prevent it here and there.
All throughout. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Psalms 33:12.
That is so beautiful. Bless the nation whose God. Well, thank you, Scott. We need that. We'll have to use that when we do the day of repentance.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Scott Mercer, and I appreciate that. I am going to pray for the sick in just a moment, but first of all, I want to pray for anyone who might not be saved. If you're not saved and ready for Jesus to come, then this is a good time to get saved. Please pray this after me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
And use me
to enlarge your territory.
Here am I.
Send me. In Jesus'
name.
Amen. Amen. In a few moments, you're going to hear my announcer give you my telephone number. So if you accepted the Lord, please feel free to leave that message on my answer machine and leave your name there, and I'll pray for you. Now I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. To the north and the south and the east and the west, there is a refreshing, refreshing breeze going through, sweeping through any blockage in people's bodies in Jesus' name, making the crooked way straight in Jesus' name, miracle after miracle, perfect alignment. Disease is gone. Pain stop. Missing body parts come back. Jesus is alive. Jesus is the miracle maker. He sent his word and healed you. He says, I will restore health unto you. I will heal you of your wounds. Behold, I bring it health and cure. I will cure them. Be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ooh, and we all say,
I agree
in Jesus' name. Now, also, you might want to call me there and let me know about that. Now, don't forget the April 1st, 5 p.m., the cross, the blood, and the heart. That'll be a beautiful program. And remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Anything that you receive is not yours to keep. You're supposed to share it and give it away. God has this wonderful law of reciprocity. We get stuff and we give stuff away. More stuff comes and we give it away. I live this way. I built my whole school, my whole life on this and trusted this thing, and it works every time. So you are hearing truths that people would die for. You've got a treasure box full of them. You know, you can get us, WMIEFM.com, on demand, Trumpet of Truth. There's all kind of books of the Bible I've taught on there. And eventually we'll have the whole Bible on there. So go and tell, go and tell, go and tell. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, with my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying we love you, God bless you, God keep you, God make his face to shine upon you. And until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Lord of all that lives and breathes, creator of all glorious things, you never cease to manifest your grace.
Yeah. TV shows, conferences, retreats, and seminars. We got books and magazines to read on everything from A to Z, and a web to surf from anywhere we are. But I hope with all this information buzzing through our brains, that we will not let our hearts forget the most important thing. It's love. And there are fights in my own house on given days. It's like something's lurking deep inside, can't seem to be satisfied. But life was not meant to be lived this way. 'Cause it's true for every man and woman, every boy and girl, that our only hope for living here together in this world is love.
are your thoughts, O God? So high, so wide, so deep. How precious to me. How precious to me. Are your thoughts, O God, so high, so wide, so deep? How precious to me. So if I were to try and count them, I would live and die in perfect bliss. The counting it is never over, and the beauty never ends. How precious. Are your thoughts, O God, so high, so wide, so deep? How precious to me. So if I were to try and count them, I would live and die in perfect bliss. Counting it is never over, and the beauty never end. How precious. Are your dreams, O God, so high, so wide, so deep? How precious to me. How precious. We'll be right back. I woke up in darkness, surrounded by silence. Oh, where have I gone? I woke to reality, losing its grip on me. Oh, where have I gone? 'Cause I can see the light before I see the sunrise. You called and you shouted, broke through my deafness. Now I'm breathing in and breathing out, I'm alive again. You shattered my darkness, washed away my blindness. Now I'm breathing in and breathing out, I'm alive again. Late have I loved you, you waited for me, I searched for you. What took me so long? I was looking outside, as if love would ever want to hide. I'm finding I was wrong, 'cause I can feel
sin. I believe